Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We cannot preserve the old everywhere if we are to build a city for more people. That's according to one of my next guests, who was promoting a planning application, which was refused, for the development of 50 apartments in Drumcondra in Dublin. Now, Simon Kelly is Chief Executive Officer of RQ2 and has been writing in the Irish Times about his own frustration over the planning process. He joins me on the line along with Graham Hickey, Conservation Director with Dublin Civic Trust. Good morning to you both and thank you for joining us this morning. Simon, can I start with yourself? Can you tell us more about what was proposed? It involved the demolition of Quinn's Pub in Drumcondra. That's right, isn't it?
That's correct, Claire. And it's nice to meet you and Graham, and thanks for having us on for the discussion. So we were proposing to demolish Quinn's Pub, and the adjoining shops on Drumcondra Road had been previously demolished. And we were essentially replacing it with 50 new apartments for the city. And I suppose we think it highlighted the kind of challenges we're all going to face going forward as we try and improve these existing residential areas in Dublin and bring more people to live in them. And we're going to hit these conflicts against existing buildings. And I suppose I was proposing a discussion here to see how we're going to manage this going forward, because currently it feels, you know, the lines of regulation are kind of uncertain, and the greyness about what we can do and what we can't do.
So why was the application, the planning permission, refused?
Three principal grounds, but we think the heritage ground was the main one. So principally it was that they feel Quinn's is a building of significance that should be retained. And then there was two other matters. It was our impact on the adjoining property in St. Alphonsus Lane, which is a very tight lane adjoining our property, and a technical matter around open spaces and balconies, which, you know, without boring your listeners, sort of technical matters of planning are easier to handle.
So you wanted to pull it down and start again?
Essentially, yes.
Graham, was he right to propose that in the first place?
I think that it's interesting. I suppose developers and heritage agencies are always pitted against each other as a battle, but these things are never binary or straightforward. And in many ways, Dublin Civic Trust and most heritage bodies would actually agree with a lot of the points that Simon raised in his article, that we desperately need investment in the historic core and complex sites like this. We need to see a residential development and built to a dense standard. And we need good placemaking and urban design standards as well. I suppose perhaps where Simon is a little disingenuous when he was talking about the fact that there isn't sufficient certainty and that the process is overly bureaucratic. To be honest, an 18-year-old planning student would tell you that Quinn's Pub was not going to get a permission for demolition. There's many precedents in the city, not least just a few doors away with the Big Tree Pub, a building that makes a key contribution to its streetscape, a landmark pub that everybody knows going back generations. It's not a protected structure, but there's a key strand of the city development plan that supports the retention of buildings that are not protected structures but make a key contribution to their streetscape.
And so the idea here wasn't wrong, it was how they went about it, you're suggesting.
I think so. And to be honest, there's a little bit of a land grab here, because the two previous applications for this site proposed the retention of the very nice parade of Victorian shop fronts. And for people that aren't familiar with it, this is largely a vacant site. I've passed here since the 1980s as a child, and I live a few doors away in the North Georgian core of the city. This is a cleared site largely already. There's only one upstanding three-story Victorian house and a parade of Victorian shop fronts. Previous schemes proposed the retention of the Victorian shop fronts and the development of good, dense, in those cases, student accommodation on the site. What the City Council is saying is that we don't want to see the loss of existing historic buildings that make a positive contribution to the streetscape, but yes, we do support the principle of good, dense, high-quality residential accommodation on inner suburban sites.
Okay, well, that seems fair enough, Simon, that would be a stipulation that whatever you're going to do, you need to keep the front of it and work away at the back and bring in the homes that you were proposing.
Yeah, and I think, I suppose, Claire, the point we'd make there, just following up on Graham, and I'm delighted to hear that, I mean, there is, I think, alignment with the retention of Dublin and developers. And I suppose this is the crux of the debate, which is we don't feel that, I suppose, prominent public houses, the 751 pubs in Dublin, and I think every pub can't be preserved. So listen, we own pubs that are a very important part of Dublin's heritage, but I don't think everyone merits the kind of preservation that Graham here is kind of proposing.
But if you want to go ahead with your development and you're being told you need to preserve this one, then surely the sensible thing to do is to follow that guideline.
Well, I suppose we've been told from Dublin City Council and the Planning Commission we need to preserve this one, and we'll be taking this decision to unload Planola. And I suppose the reason I wrote the article was just to kind of air the issue that there is ambiguity, because these aren't listed buildings, and whilst Graeme is right on referring to the Dublin Development Plan, there is precedent in Dublin, for example, the Howl at the Moon pub on Baggot Street, which was ultimately demolished to make way for a hotel.
Graeme, is the current planning process and the decisions surrounding applications, is that holding back the necessary development of certain areas in the city? And I needn't explain how much we need housing and in the centre of the city in order to have a vibrant place for people to live and work and socialise. Housing is key.
The key issue that we have at the moment over the past 10 years, and Simon will know as well, is how the landscape has shifted away from small-scale local developers to this equity finance-based model of building en masse on a large scale. And as Orla Hegarty in the UCD School of Architecture has pointed out so well, is that we have a policy landscape at the moment that actively facilitates or at least fosters the assembly of derelict sites or partly vacant sites for much larger scale buildings rather than the renewal and the refurbishment of the buildings that are already there. And, you know, today, Claire, is Earth Day. We have the climate bill going through, and at the moment we currently don't have a statutory basis. The City Council cannot legally enforce the retention of existing buildings due to their carbon footprint or their inherent carbon value. But we're getting to that stage very quickly where the greenest building is the building that's already upstanding. And what we really need to do is promote clever contemporary development stitched in alongside our existing building stock.
Simon, you wanted to come in there?
Yeah, no, I was going to echo what Graeme is saying. So people might be familiar with our other projects, but exactly what Graeme is talking about, we're undertaking in Blackrock, where we're retaining an existing office building and expanding and investing in it with exactly Graeme's sustainability agenda. And again, in the inner city on these older properties, that's much more challenging than in Blackrock on a concrete frame office building. So again, I suppose my pitch here is to, I suppose, share this kind of discussion with people that it is very challenging in the inner city on older buildings which are timber framed to bring them into the sustainability agenda. And I think a more balanced view is to have the retained and retain the ones which are very important and then allow development to demolish certain buildings, including Quinn's.
So it's easier to demolish the Georgian building rather than to redevelop it?
No, well, Quinn's wouldn't be a Georgian building. I think Graeme will fully confirm that.
Indeed, absolutely. It would be a good example of the Victorian pub. But I suppose that the great thing about historic buildings, as they've proved over the centuries, no more than the likes of Merrion Square, built as aristocratic residences, later became middle-class houses, later became doctor surgeries, and now the rooms of PR companies and consulting firms and cultural institutions. So historic buildings are inherently adaptable, and nobody's saying that Victorian pubs should be kept as Victorian pubs. In fact, the likes of Quinn's, there's two stories above a pub on the ground floor, the two stories upstairs were always residential use, only more recently converted into a pub, so they can be converted back into residential use. And that's what we want to see, a lot more of the city, of the existing buildings being converted for relevant 21st century uses, in addition to contemporary development.
But not, Graeme, into 50 apartments out the back.
Well, there is good scope for apartments at the back, there's no question, but Simon himself said
I'm trying to solve the problem here. So are you saying that Simon just needs to keep the front, the Quinn's front, and then build whatever he wants out the back? Or are you saying the entire building should be converted back into what it originally was?
Facadism is never a good approach. I mean, there's a good, upstanding masonry building there with a lot of embodied carbon, but also an embodied cultural and social and architectural value. So that building should be retained, it should be converted. The parade of Victorian shops alongside can be very cleverly stitched into a good contemporary development with lots of good quality modern apartments.
Well, Simon, I'm sure you know the building very well. Is it a good building? Can it be retained?
Any building can be retained in terms of the structure of the building. But I suppose the points we'd highlight here, and this is where we think, I suppose, Dublin should approach it, and it's not just about Quinn's here in Drumcondra from our point of view. So, I mean, where you're demolishing a building of interest, which clearly Quinn's is, we think you've got to be putting back sort of better accommodation, and it's got to be better for the area. So the huge wins we presented to Dublin City Council was St. Alphonse's Lane is currently a very narrow lane, and we were giving back about 3 metres of extra space there. So that's permanent streetscape improvement for Dublin forever. And currently it's very compromised by the current Victorian shopfronts. And similarly, at the rear of Quinn's here, we're putting back, or we propose to put back a very, sort of garden in the city for these 50 apartments. So if anyone's looked at the planning application, they see that's a far more interesting use, and it's a better use of Dublin space than the current long extension to a pub with pretty grotty air handling units and the like. So again, we think where you're putting back real quality, there is a case to be made for demolishing buildings like Quinn's.
Yeah, gosh, it's a difficult balance to strike, isn't it? If you want quality accommodation in the city centre, Graham, do you have to compromise on keeping the streetscape bang on in the way that you have described? Or do you just go for it to attract people back into the city centre again?
There's lots of ways of doing this. We're not reinventing the wheel. We all know successful European cities from Amsterdam to Vienna to Copenhagen to all of the principles that Jan Gehl, the famous urban planner, promotes about stitching in good residential development into existing environments. Yes, it's more difficult to do. And I suppose in a way is that our big problem in Ireland is that we've become so suburbanized that we've lost the urban development principles and the skills and the skill sets of building in the city centre. And if you, for example, Claire, stood on the roof of Temple Street Children's Hospital and you looked westwards toward, or eastwards towards Mountjoy Square, you're looking at a light industrial landscape of single-storey sheds where former coach houses and remains of coach houses, the Georgian houses, used to be. There's huge scope for master planning these areas to give developers certainty to invest in those for good residential accommodation that complements the existing historic building stock. But we need to master plan our city, because currently we have a development plan with a set of loose guidance, but certain areas are too important in the city to be left to that. They need a more European-led certainty with a master plan.
So that's what Graham sees, Simon, as he looks out across the city. You see a city rife with dereliction and decay.
No,
you say it's rife with dereliction and decay. I'm quoting from your Irish Times piece.
Yeah, and it is, to be honest. And there's areas of Dublin where we've been, like I take Smithfield Fruit Market, for example, where we've been 20 years looking at the area. We get really excited about trying to make a residential community, as Graham says, with a master plan, but essentially observing very little improvement actually taking place on a very large piece of, you know, Dublin's most beautiful district. And it's about preserving the right buildings. So a fruit market building is amazing. And taking that out to Drumcondra here, we think our adjoining property, which is the old convent, is an amazing building, absolutely to be retained, and that should be the shining piece here. And our adjoining properties are really of no merit, and that's why we've proposed our 50 apartments.
Well, we're getting very many texts on this. Aisling says streetscapes should be maintained and new builds should be compatible with beautiful next-door buildings and be community-friendly, and that seems to be the ideal. Developers in Dublin would demolish the pyramids if we had them to build hugely overpriced apartments. Simon, how do you respond to that?
I definitely keep the pyramids. I like them.
And that's about it. Is that where the bar is?
Not at all. No, I'm a huge fan of Dublin. People come to Dublin because of our heritage. But like in an area like Drumcondra, it's not an area of any kind of conservation in the development plan. And I think we have to bring people back to live in the city. I don't think living at the end of the Lewis line in a mass-built suburban scheme is any kind of quality of life for people. You know, I want my children to live in the city, and I want to have good apartments for them.
Yeah, see, Graham, that's the danger, isn't it? If it's made too difficult to develop these places in the city centre, you'll have everybody living at the end of the Lewis line, at the end of the Dart line, and building up suburbia, and we'll have an empty city centre.
It's not a trendy thing to say, Claire, but to be quite honest, it's too easy to build everywhere else in Ireland. That's the problem. And very often it's said because we can't build tall buildings in the centre of Dublin, that young people have to commute from Virginia in Cavan, well, from a three-bed semi, where the question should be asked, why are you allowed to build three-bed semi-estates to serve the Dublin commuting population in Cavan? So we need to change things. I mean, we're leaking at the seams in Ireland. I'm a young person. I'm in my 30s. I'm not an old fogey in Tweed. I want to live in a historic town in Ireland, in the centre of the historic core of Dublin. But until it's actually made viable and attractive for young people to live over a shop in Mullingar or Dundalk or Yall, rather than living in a tree bed out the road, and kind of culturally to make it desirable to live in a town centre, we're really going nowhere on this. And we need to develop those skill sets in the private sector and at local authority and central government level to invest in our complex and beautiful historic urban core.
All right. Simon Kelly, last word to you on that.
Yeah, I know that I agree with Graeme, and I suppose the beautiful cities of Europe, Claire, are, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 stories tall across the whole city, and that's why they're vibrant, and Dublin needs to be a little bit taller. I don't want skyscrapers, but we propose 5 stories here in Drumcondra, which is not a tall building in any European city.
Simon Kelly, Graeme Hickey, thank you both very much indeed. We're going to be talking about the perils of online shopping after the break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.